Are you in what appears to be a hopeless situation? Pastor Jeff says there's hope in Jesus.
God, give me some hope. Give me purpose. Give me something that I can just keep going in this place, because I get so weary. I get so tired sometimes. I feel like throwing the towel in sometimes. I feel like just giving up. And I'm just going, don't give up. It's just right around the corner. Come on, look up, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Have this hope. Get this hope in your heart. It will purify you. It will want, you know, you'll want to be ready. And it'll encourage you. That's what it's all about.
Your spirit leads me on. And I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love.
One thing that separates the Bible from any other book in history is the amazing accuracy and detail of its prophecies. 2 Peter 1:19 tells us, "And so we have the prophetic word more confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." It's with that in mind that we take you to Daniel here on Sound Doctrine, looking at chapter 7 with Pastor Jeff Johnson.
In verse 10, in chapter 20, he says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And then once that's done, once they are put out of business for good, then it says the books were opened. Interesting, I found a scripture in Isaiah chapter 65. You can write it down, verse 6. Isaiah 65, verse 6, he says, "Behold, it is written before me. I will not keep silence, but I will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom." So God is writing everything down. He keeps excellent, excellent books. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 10, he talks about that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. So, in other words, everything's being written down. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is the Bema seat. It's not the wrath of God. It's for rewards. That's the seat that we're going to be before. When we get to heaven, we're going right before the Bema seat. And yet, everything's still being written down. The good things he's going to reward us with. Bad things, you're not going to be rewarded. And so the saints are going to be judged, but also this world is going to be judged. And then there's an interesting scripture in Malachi. And Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. In chapter 3, in verse 16, he says, "And they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name." So when we're gathering here tonight, he's writing it down. I see Mary's here. Bill, you made it. Joe, you gotcha. And he's taking attendance. And he's writing it down. And it's like always as we go towards the things of God, he's just writing those things down. And it's just to our plus, 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 plus. So this book of remembrance is being added to constantly. In Revelation, in chapter 20 again, going to verse 12, interesting verse. Listen to this. Chapter 20, verse 12. He says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is the book of life," and this is the Lamb's book of life, "and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And so these books, the Lamb's book of life, those who are true Jesus people, are there written in that book. See, you see, salvation is not of works. It is a free gift of God. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, he said, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, boom, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. If not, over there again, Revelation chapter 20, in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is a book that I think you will want to get your name in. You need to be there. Okay, let's see if his name's there, or if his name's there. And you can imagine the names have been read. Oh, you missed me. I wasn't there. Well, hey, you never got right with God. You never made peace with God. So you'll be cast into the lake of fire, Gehenna, forever and ever. What we do with Jesus. And then Jesus said, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's get back to our text in Daniel, now verse 11 of chapter 7. And I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed, given to the burning flame. Daniel now sees the wicked one, the man, the son of perdition, destroyed in the lake of fire. Remember, I already read that to you in Revelation chapter 20, when the enemy will be totally destroyed. And it's also mentioned in Revelation 19, verse 20. Now, if you got Daniel 7 there, look at verse 26 of Daniel 7. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. He's also talking about Satan's end. His dominion is destroyed. And this is the end and the last of man's governments, when Satan is put out of business once and for all. Then comes Revelation 19, verse 14 and 15, the battle of Armageddon, which Psalm 2 talks about, when man will come against the holy God of creation, and he's going to try to fight God with his huge nuclear bombs, and everything's going to be sitting there just, come on, man. I mean, guess who wins? And like, it's over, guy. You know, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, it talks about how in just a word, he's going to snuff them out. They won't have a chance. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 is interesting too. Let me read that one to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. And then he says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Wiped out. And you know, Satan is running around knowing he's got but little time. And he's working overtime. Have you noticed? As you watch the news, as you watch the world situation, as you just watch this place just, you know, gearing up and the whole thing trembling and all kinds of earthquakes in diverse places. We talked about that on Sunday with Matthew 24. Incredible stuff. It's happening today, right now, in our age. And we're living in that time. And then look at verse 12. He says, and this is Daniel 7, verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So the first three empires have fallen, but their influence will still be present. And it's present in that area of the world today, in Egypt, in Turkey, in Iran, Iraq, where in Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, that whole image scene, he says, for as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces all of the nations of the world, all of the clay and the silver and the gold. And the great God made known to the king what will come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, the interpretation is sure. And so that stone, if you will not humble yourself before it and let it break you, then when it comes, it will grind you to powder, Luke said. I mean, this is the judgment. This is what he's talking about here, that coming judgment. Verse 13, and I saw in the midst of visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And he's coming in the clouds when he comes. He's going to be riding a big, right, you know, and there's a song about that, but he's coming in the clouds. You say, what do you mean he's coming in the clouds? Revelation 1:7 says he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. Now, this is the difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The rapture, it's going to come as what? A thief in the night. Not every eye is going to see him. Two different comings, guys. The rapture is coming for his bride to take her up that we might be with him. And then he's going to bring us back, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, with him. And that's when we're going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years, judgment, totally. It's coming down heavy. Even after the 7-year tribulation, there's going to be more judgment. And he's going to come in the clouds. Now, what's interesting about that is Solomon, remember when he set his temple together, God would hover down and his very presence was in the cloud of Shekinah, of glory. His very presence was a cloud. When the children of Israel were led out of Egypt, they were led by day by a cloud, by night by a pillar of fire, but by day, the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God. In Matthew 24:30, he's coming in the clouds. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 11, why do you stand here gazing? And Jesus was taken up from their very presence. He ascended up into heaven in a cloud. And they said, and these angels that were standing there, this same Jesus is coming back in the same way. He's coming in the clouds. Revelation 14:14. Let me read that one to you. He says in Revelation 14:14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having his head a golden on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a harp and a sickle. So again, he's coming in the clouds. In other words, God's presence with God's Shekinah glory to bring judgment. Right now, he's the Lamb of God. Then he'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Again, judgment. Let's go back to Daniel 7, verse 14. And there was given him dominion, glory, a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Daniel here has this vision of God's throne. It's incredible. And in that vision, it's almost like what Isaiah had. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And as he saw the Lord, he was just moved. He was convicted of his sin. I mean, the presence of God is so heavy that you just get dealt with. Daniel experienced it. And he saw this vision of God's throne. John in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, he experienced it. No, at least we know this, that God is giving us enough glimpse into what is coming that when we get there finally, we're not going to go like, oh, whoa, like a country bumpkin, you know, just, I didn't have any idea. No, we're going to go, yeah, remember that in Revelation? Yeah, remember in Daniel? Yeah, this is it. You see, he's getting us ready. He doesn't want you to walk around in shock. He wants you to just kind of feel comfortable. So he prepares us for the place that we're being prepared for. So this is going to be a life-changing experience in Daniel's life. Isaiah's life, again, he was transformed when he saw God's glory. And he was given hope in a hopeless situation. And isn't that why we're here tonight? God, give me some hope. Give me purpose. Give me something that I can just keep going in this place, because I get so weary. I get so tired sometimes. I feel like throwing the towel in sometimes. I feel like just giving up. And I'm just going, don't give up. It's just right around the corner. Come on, look up, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Have this hope. Get this hope in your heart. It will purify you. It will want, you know, you'll want to be ready. And it'll encourage you. That's what it's all about. Right now, I'm telling you, this world has never been so messed up. But I've never seen God on the throne in such a powerful way either. You hear what I'm saying? Go ahead. Look at the world. Look at the news. Look at all the junk that's going on. And we're going to talk about this Sunday morning.
We're going to talk about how to endure through all these trials and darkness and scum that we're going through. How can we hang in there? Well, part of it is just getting into the Word and getting a vision from God of what's coming. But God's on the throne. He's in control. He rules. What did David do? Hope thou in God. He started talking to his own soul. Soul, lighten up, lighten up. Come on. What are you doing? You're cast down. Hope thou in God. He's still on the throne. And then all these scriptures start coming to your mind. He's going to take care of me. He's the healer of all my diseases. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all of a sudden you start getting it on. And then you start getting on his promises. And it gets you through it. Because these are precious promises that give us strength. 7 years after the rapture, we're going to return with Christ to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. I mentioned that. Then a new heaven and a new earth forever and ever. That's what he's saying here in verse 14. His kingdom is a kingdom that goes on and on and on and on. All of man's kingdoms are going to come to an end. And soon. In Revelations chapter 5, turn there with me real quick. Revelations 5, look at this vision that John had. Revelations 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. Many believe this to be the title deed of the earth. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. Because no man, you know, in this world, man can't save himself. He is a lost soul. And I wept much. He wept convulsively because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. It's like Daniel's vision. Here he sees the title deed of the earth. Who's worthy to pay it off? You see, God gave this earth to man, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Have fun, enjoy. One requirement, though, don't eat of that tree over there. And man said, what tree? Wet paint? I don't believe it. Right? You see the sign, he tells you everything, and you still go over and blow it. Don't touch the one tree. As Adam and Eve, they ate and they forfeited this world to Satan. Why? Because they disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, God said, in the day that you eat of this tree, thou shalt surely die. Not just physically, but spiritually. A relationship with God cut off. Serious. Satan had it all. Now, when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he said, I'll give you all these things, Jesus, if you'd bow down and worship me. And he didn't argue with Satan, did he? Because he knew Satan had all those things to give him. Because they had been forfeited to him. So he didn't argue with him. Jesus called him the God of this world, the prince of this world. See, Jesus came to redeem this world back to God, to buy it. The word redeem is a marketing term. It means to purchase. Man sold out this place. He gave it to Satan. So Jesus had to claim it back with his death. Remember the whole parable of the world? It's the field. He talks about this field. But in the field, there's a treasure. And the man that was coming to get the treasure, he sold all that he had to get the treasure out of the field. The field is the world. The treasure is the church. It's you and I. Jesus paid it all for us on Calvary. Isn't that great? Jesus paid for my redemption, man. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am a child of God because of what he did on the cross for me. So we're blood bought and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. I love that scripture in Ephesians. In chapter 1, let me read it to you. In verse 13, listen. and in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you had believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Do you know what that means? I mean, that's a lot of words there, but I mean, if you really broke it down, it means you're on the layaway plan. I'm on the layaway plan. That he has sealed us, we're his, but he's coming back to purchase his possession, totally. Right now, I have been redeemed inside. This body, I watch it in the mirror daily, believe me. It's getting lighter, heavier, it's weird now. I don't like it, and there's nothing I can do about it. Because why? This body's not redeemed. It's still corrupt. And I'm going down. But my spirit is being renewed day by day. And I groan sometimes for that new body, which is eternal in the heavens. Not created with man, by man, but created by the Father, which is eternal in the heavens. He's going to give me a new body. I'm looking forward to that. The older you get, the more you groan for it. And the more you say, Jesus, come now. Because, you know, you just like to have your new body. Because it's going to be eternally guaranteed. And you're going to run and fly around, and it's going to be unbelievable. But he's coming back for us to totally redeem us. By Jewish law, if you forfeit land in 6 years, you can reclaim it if you can meet the terms. If you don't claim it, it's lost. In Revelations chapter 5, remember we read it, John wept convulsively. Why was he weeping so hard? He's saying, who can claim the world back? It's in sin. It's going to go forever in sin and darkness and be lost forever. And that's why he wept. But if you have a kinsman redeemer, someone that is kin to you, he also can redeem it if he can perform all that's required in paying for it. So the kinsman redeemer, of course, is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, and it's there in Ruth, and it's a beautiful love story, how these two get together. And it's a picture of the bride and Christ, because he is our kinsman redeemer. Jesus came to do what we could never do, and that's buy us back to God. That is to pay the price on the cross so we can be redeemed and changed, and our natures would be made brand new. And we would be called the children of God. Only those who receive him can be children of God. And you'll know it in your heart. You'll know it because God will show it to you, and his spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And there's nothing more blessed as you lay down your head on your pillow knowing that you're a child of God. And you're in good hands with the Father, and he loves you.
On that uplifting note, we will draw this edition of Sound Doctrine to a close. Pastor Jeff Johnson will finish up this prophecy update in Daniel next time. You can request today's study on CD when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Simply mention today's date to help us identify the study you're looking for. And again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I should also mention you can go to our website to order resource materials from us and even replay today's program. We're at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, here in the month of May, we honor and celebrate our moms. And with that in mind, we've picked out a book written by Elizabeth Elliot. Every mom, and really every woman, needs to read this book. It's called Let Me Be a Woman. Elizabeth writes, in order to learn what it means to be a woman, we must start with the one who made her. With Scripture as her guide, author Elizabeth Elliot shares her observations and experiences in a number of essays on what it means to be a Christian woman. Whether you're single, married, or widowed, I know you'll be greatly encouraged by this book. Order it today by calling 800-353-7553. 7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. Please remember that your gifts help us bring these shows to the radio every day. We rely on the Lord and the support of our listeners to make all of this happen. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request. We want to know how Sound Doctrine is benefiting your walk with the Lord. So email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please also mention the station that you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll get back into Daniel next time we meet. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generous support. So, Father,